Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from his Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The word of God for our consideration today is found in Romans in the 8th chapter, verses 11 through 19. And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who lives in you. Therefore, brothers, we have an obligation, but it is not to the sinful nature to live according to it. For if you live according to the sinful nature, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. Because those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received the spirit of sonship, and by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may also share in his glory. I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. The creation waits in eager expectation for the sons of God to be revealed. So far the text. In the name of our Savior Jesus, dear friends, a fragile economy, falling stock market prices, skyrocketing energy prices, rising food costs, a war in Europe, gun violence in our schools. The list of troubles causing our citizenry fear and trepidation is quite lengthy, and we could add many more troubles to the list. What if another pandemic hits? Will the Social Security system remain solvent or go broke? So many uncertainties that may cause even Bible-believing Christians to feel a bit anxious and insecure. That's why we're so happy and grateful to the Lord that in the Holy Scriptures he provides us with so many promises by which he assures us that our future lives are indeed, both here and hereafter, 100% safe. Though we live in a world so much unlike the one God originally created, which was worry-free, where Adam and Eve experienced peace unbroken before sin entered and ruined everything. Despite all the thorny problems we encounter in our lives personally, and in the face of societal instability and political turbulence, we Christians are blessed with what might be called spirit security. That is the comforting thought the Lord will lay on our hearts this morning here in our text. We Christians have spirit security. That is, the Holy Spirit of God assures us as Christians that we are children of the Heavenly Father and that we are heirs of heavenly glory. So let's give attention to that first glorious truth of the Scriptures, that teaching of the Bible, by which the Holy Spirit blesses us with a sense of security and safeness and inner peace, no matter what tremors shaking in our world, that we are indeed children of the Heavenly Father. It's perhaps no picture in the Bible. Actually, it's more than just a picture. It presents a glorious reality that the great God of heaven the creator of all that exists, is our Father, and we are full-fledged sons and daughters. As Paul says here, those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. You did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received the spirit of sonship. That teaching is presented in many different places in the Bible. God the Holy Spirit inspired the authors of Bible books to write about this glorious relationship between us and our God, thanks to the Holy Spirit's work in our hearts of leading us to repentance for our sins and childlike trust in Christ, time and again in the Bible. Paul, in his letter to the Galatians, writes, short and sweet, you are all the sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. The Lord's Apostle John writes in his first epistle, how great is the love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are. And that same Apostle John wrote in his gospel, he, Jesus, was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him, and yet, to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or a husband's will, but born of God. The Holy Spirit caused the Bible authors to speak so frequently about this blessed family relationship that exists between our Heavenly Father and us, because he recognizes that we live in a world where the troubling effects of sin are seen on every side. All those things we mentioned before, wars, rumors of wars, economic downturns, daily stressors related to work and family and school. Add to this the disintegration of society's moral fabric that so distresses us to see as Christians, and our own sinful weaknesses that crop up on a daily basis. Aren't our spirits prone to become anxious and to wonder whether the future of our lives is safe and secure? And so the Lord reminds us, again, that Bible verse I read, those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. You did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received the spirit of sonship. Two Bible stories that come to mind that provide similar assurance to us as God's redeemed children. The first is the one that's recorded in Luke's gospel, where the evangelist informs us of how tax collectors and sinners were all gathering around Jesus to hear him. And we read there how Jesus then told three parables of the lost coin, sheep, and son. And in that third parable of the lost son, he spoke of that willful, wayward boy who left the security of his father's home and wasted his family inheritance with wild living. And then when he finally came to his senses spiritually, realized the error of his way, repented of it before the Lord, he returned home and his dad welcomed him back with open arms. The other story that comes to mind that you will remember is in the Gospel of Luke, where the evangelist informs us of how Jesus was praying in a certain place And after he got done praying, a disciple came to Jesus and asked him to provide he and his fellow disciples with guidance in praying themselves. You remember the guidance Jesus gave? He said, when you pray, say, O invisible Lord of the universe, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. No, that's not what he said. That wouldn't have been very encouraging to think of God as the invisible Lord of the universe or eternal judge of all who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. No, he said, when you pray, say, Our Father who art in heaven, tenderly inviting them and us to believe that God is our true Father and we are his true children, so that we may pray to him as children ask their dear Father for things. So the Holy Spirit has taught us in Holy Scriptures. We indeed are his children through repentance and faith in Christ. We have a Father in heaven who welcomes us into the safeness and the security of his heavenly family. As the hymn writer also says, we love to sing, today your gate is open and all who enter in shall find a Father's welcome and pardon for their sin. The past shall be forgotten, a present joy be given, a future grace be promised, a glorious crown in heaven. We'll come back to that crown in heaven in a minute. But just think about this. No matter what's happening in your topsy-turvy world that you live in and in your own life, that there's nothing that can change these glorious truths, that the great God of heaven has adopted you in Christ to be his dear son or daughter. Notice also how Paul underscores that truth even further in our text when he says, you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received the spirit of sonship, and then goes on, and by him we cry, Abba, Father. So he teaches us when we pray to God in heaven in days of stress and when we may be feeling insecure, to address our God using the same name that Jesus used when he prayed in Gethsemane. The Aramaic word Abba is the equivalent of our English word daddy. It's amazing to think about how God encourages us to address him as our daddy in the same way that Jesus did. When we have moments when our spirits feel insecure, to remember God is my loving father, my papa, and I am his cherished child in Christ. And then also we live in anticipation, speaking of that crown I mentioned a moment ago, of an eternal future that is secure through the inheritance that we will receive as God's children. Of course, that was the ultimate purpose for his only begotten one taking on our human flesh and blood and becoming our big brother. That's why Jesus let himself be subjected to all the suffering of the cross, to secure an inheritance for us that's never going to perish, spoil, or fade. Paul says here, if we are children of God, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. If indeed we share in Christ's sufferings, in order that we may also share in his glory. And that buoys our spirits indeed, as Christians, on the ups and downs of our lives, the heartaches that come when we lose loved ones, pain of medical ailments, emotional strains we experience as young people, as middle-aged people, as older people, whatever phase of life we are in, and then also the trials that we endure just because we are Jesus' disciples, the Christian cross. The Lord foretold we would need to be ready to bear for him because of our faith connection, our family ties to the Lord, are holding fast to him and to the teachings of his word, the opposition we can count on encountering from the world, our confidence, our inner peace in all these trials is that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that's coming. Troubles we encounter now that seem so heavy and difficult, don't they? Well, then be like nothing. I like to think of the pan scale illustration. If you've seen those pan scales, put on the one side all the troubles of this life, the Christian crosses, physical trials and so forth on the one side, and on the other side, the glory that's coming, going to be like this is nothing in that day. And like Luther's comment also on this passage where he says, when we're brought finally to the life of God with the Lord on the last day, Luther said, we're going to spit on ourselves and say, fie on you for not having been bolder in believing in Christ and bearing up under your trials, since the glory now is so great, Luther wrote. But what a wonderful thing to think about. We have this sure promise of our Heavenly Father guiding us safely throughout our life here and then leading us to the glory to come. That's true security, indeed. All the systems of security invented by men, you know, they're subject to breakdowns and failures. Bank security systems, ring alarm security systems, those people sitting in cars, driving around with flashing yellow lights that look like cop cars in store parking lots to ward off shoplifters. Security software installed on computers to fend off hackers. Products at the store still are shoplifted. Homes are broken into and computers hacked. We Christians have true, fail-safe spirit security. Though our lives right now sometimes are touched by troubles. And then right on into the next, security. Blessed, but the best IRA ever. An individual redemption account purchased on the cross by Christ for us and made ours by the working of the Holy Spirit in our hearts. Benefits that we enjoy, not subject to fluctuation, not impacted by goings on in the world, by troubles or any pains that we experience. And finally, when we retire from this world, we will do it also then with glorious security, knowing that the best is yet to come. So friends, think about these things often as you go through your day and through your week, when you're down with an illness, when you face stress and all the troubles around us in the world. Remember who you are, a child of the Heavenly Father through Christ, who will indeed transform your lowly body so that it may one day be conformed to his glorious body and will cause the creation itself on that last day to be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the glorious liberty of the children of God. Amen. And the peace of God, which is able to protect you far more effectively than the human mind, shall guard and protect your hearts and thoughts through Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.